Again, in your Bibles to the Gospel of John, chapter 15, I'd like to continue on a thought that we began several weeks ago, that you and I, as God's creation, can also be, because of the blood of Jesus, His friend. John chapter 15, beginning with verse 13. Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I have learned from my Father, I've made known to you. Let's bow our hearts together and let's ask God's blessing to be with us as we worship God through his word this morning. Once again, Heavenly Father, we're so thankful that you're in this place today. We thank you, Lord, for the peace and the presence that comes from your Holy Spirit and also from your Word. So this morning now, dear God, as we look to your Word, we ask in your precious name that you would just move upon us by the power of your Holy Spirit. We pray for your anointing and strength to be with this speaker, and we pray also, God, that you give us all ears to hear what the Holy Spirit is saying to his church today. We ask this in your wonderful name. Amen. Now, I've met a few couples, married couples, not too many, but a few, who exist in their relationship without saying too much to themselves. You know, they basically have separate lives. They come home from work, and the husband will do one thing, and the wife will do another thing. They might drive for a while, going on a trip, and say scarcely a word to one another. And they're happy with that. But I find that that type of relationship, although it's happy for a few people, is more the exception than the rule. One thing that many marriage counselors tell us, and one thing that we know as people, whether it be marriage or any other type of relationship, one of the most important things to maintain that relationship is to have communication between one another. Let me tell you, husband, if you're the type of person who comes home and buries himself either in the computer, the newspaper, the television, or your workshop, or whatever, or goes out golfing, and doesn't spend time, not just spending time with your spouse, but with communicating with your spouse, you're headed for trouble. Because human beings, both husband and wife, desire fellowship. An important part of fellowship is communication. And it's something that we have to work on. And it's something that we not only have with one another, whether it be husband or wife, parent, child, or friends, it's something that we also should have with our friendship with God. We've taken time in previous weeks to talk about how God, despite the fact that He is our Heavenly Father and our High King, our Master, our Lord, He also desires to be our friend. And when we think of friends, we think of a familiar and a personal relationship. God, as far as your life, and I'm not just speaking for a select few in Scripture or who exist today, but for everyone who confesses the name of Jesus, God wants to be personal and intimate with you. He is your friend. Whether if you have accepted Him, you are automatically, as we discussed 2 weeks ago, you are His friend. And He wants to develop a strong relationship with you. And one of the most important dynamics, if not the most important dynamic, of our friendship with Jesus is that God speaks to us. There's a paradigm, or there's a mindset in the body of Christ regarding what prayer is. We think as far as communication with one another, it's two ways. Although we've all met people, and I think we've all been guilty of having one-way communication, you know, where we're just dumping stuff on people and we're not hearing what they're saying. But as far as God, many of us are of the mindset that our communication with God, prayer and meditation, is something that's one way. It's something that we have to do all the talking. I don't know about you, but I hate conversations where I have to do all the talking. It's tough. Halfway through, you're thinking, well, what am I going to talk about next? But God wants us to know that He's not only a God who hears our prayer, and He does. He wants to know what's on your heart. He wants to hear your praise. He wants to hear your sorrows and your struggles. Cast all your cares on Him, for He cares for you. But He also wants to speak to you today. Several scriptures, we mentioned them several weeks ago. Acts chapter 2, verse 17. In the last days, God says, God is speaking to His church. Paul, preaching in Acts 21, verse 11, says, the Holy Spirit says, He's speaking. The Apostle Paul, in talking about what the Holy Spirit had impressed upon him regarding the end times, 1 Timothy 4:1, the Spirit clearly says, God speaks. Hebrews 3:7, so as the Holy Spirit says, Hebrews 10:15, the Holy Spirit also testifies about this. God is a God who communicates to His people. And He communicates today. And in fact, one example I wanted to share with you was, actually two examples, was from the Old Testament. And you know, we think about this as far as the Old Testament. Of course, one friend of God was the man Moses. And Moses was not just a servant of God. Moses was a friend of God, as Scripture says. And one aspect of his friendship is that God would speak freely with Moses. Exodus 33:11, the Lord would speak to Moses face to face as a man speaks with his friend. Also, we have the example of Abraham, who's also noted in Scripture as a friend of God. In the time when God was going to move against Sodom, the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah, Genesis 18:17 says, the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham what I'm about to do? God wanted to communicate or speak with Abraham. Now, as I mentioned before, we have this mindset that communication with God is one way. We just pray with Him, but God, or just speak to Him. But God wants to speak to us. And it's important that we understand that. And it's important that we experience that in our lives. For three reasons. Number one, God has something to tell us. And so if He has something to tell us, and if He is God, it is something that's very important. But number two, we need to hear from God because we need to be reminded that God is here. Amen? The Bible tells us in John chapter 4, verse 24, God is spirit. And them that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. John, in talking about Jesus, said in 1 John that Jesus is someone whom He Himself had experienced personally, who He had seen and who He had handled. But Jesus didn't stay. He ascended to the right hand of the Father. Now, He sent His Holy Spirit, which is wonderful. Not only someone, who is present in the world, but who dwells within us. But we don't have that flesh and blood representation of Jesus that the apostles did when they walked the earth with the Lord. But when God speaks, and He does speak, He spoke in the Old Testament and the New Testament, He reminds us, because I don't know about you, but when God speaks to me, it affects me in the deepest parts of my soul because it is God. It reminds me that He is alive and there, and that He cares about me. It's important. But it's also important because of the power of the Word of God. When God speaks, wonderful things happen, don't they? You know, we think of Psalm 103. He sent His word and healed them and delivered them from all their diseases. God brought the world into existence by what? God said, let there be light, and there was light.
Yes.
Let there be life, and there was life. Plant life, bird life, fish life, animal life. Through the spoken word of God. God forgives with his words. Son, the man that they let down through the roof, thy sins be forgiven me. How? Simply by a pronouncement of God. The word of God is quick and powerful. And nothing will affect you more in your walk of faith and facing the challenges of life and the challenges of serving Jesus than the ministry of the word of God to you. Which comes to us, yes, through his written word, but also through the spoken word of God, because God desires to communicate with us. So we need to understand that regarding our friendship with God, it's a two-way communication. We can bring our requests and praises, and we should. But we need to also listen to God. How do we hear God? That's the hard thing. Knowing that God wants to speak is one thing. But how do we actually hear from the Lord? How does this become a reality in my life? Well, one way is through meditating on the Word of God. One of the most important things. You know, Jesus said in John's Gospel chapter 10, my sheep hear my voice and I know them. Now, of course, at that time, people were able to physically experience Christ, and so they could discern his voice and his face and know who he was. But Jesus wasn't just speaking to those people there. He was speaking to us today. My sheep know my voice. How do we know the voice of God? Well, we're not going to know by his sound, and we're not going to know by his appearance, because God is spirit, and then that worship him in spirit and in truth. We must know him by what he says. Can't we tell people by what they say? Has anyone came to you and told you something about a friend of yours or someone close to you that they said something, and you knew it was a lie because they would never say that? You know what their personality is. You know what their heart is. You know what their character is. And so it is as far as hearing the voice of God. It's knowing what God says. Because God took very careful pains to put this book of life together that we might know him. Because the Bible is more than just words. It's Jesus. John chapter 1 verse 14. The word became flesh and dwelt among us. So in order to hear God and to have communication with God, which is so important as far as our friendship, you must be people who not just read the Word of God, it's good to read, and not just come to church and listen to someone shout and scream and jump up and down about the Word of God, but people who meditate upon the Word of God or think about the Word of God. Not just read to read, but you know, oh great, I finished Psalm 1 today. I'll finish Psalm 2 tomorrow and I'll have finished my obligation. But read to know what the Word of God is saying, which requires study, but then prayerful meditation or thinking about these things. Reading Psalm chapter 1 verse 2 regarding the importance of meditating upon the Word of God, his delight regarding the righteous man who will never be moved, his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. What is that saying regarding the law of God or the Word of God? Number one, we should meditate. We should think upon it. We shouldn't just read it and say, I'm done. We need to take, and I don't know how much you read. I have a certain amount that I like to read every day. But we need to take at least a portion of what we've read and keep it on our minds during the day. And I'm not saying you know, just think about it and nothing else. You've got your job and your family. Oh, honey, I can't speak to you right now. I'm thinking about the Word. But, you know, time to time, reflecting upon what that Word says. Why? So God can speak to you through His Word. Let me share with you a personal experience. Now, when God speaks, you know, in the Old Testament when He spoke, you know, we think of Noah, you know, go build the ark. We think of Moses when he was on the backside of the desert and the fiery, take off your shoes, you're standing on holy ground. Not that God can't and not that God does not speak that way in an audible voice today, but generally He speaks through the voice of His Spirit to our spirits. And in my life, I've been through different things, through different challenges, and of course have sought God for direction on different things. And God has always been faithful to speak. And I'll tell you, the majority of time that God speaks, He doesn't speak plainly as far as, Randy, you should do this, or Randy, everything's going to be okay, like one would speak to another. But rather, He speaks through His Word. God will quicken to my heart a scripture. And that's not to say God is playing games with me. Remember, the Word of God is quick and powerful, and will stay with you longer than anything, and support you longer than anything, and above all, build what we need as far as that strong relationship with Christ and that ability to stand strong in the world. Faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. I remember one time, I probably shared this experience before, but I was going through a difficult time in ministry, and I was really wondering whether or not ministry, as far as what I felt God was calling me to do, was going to happen for me. And there was a certain obstacle in my way, and it was an obstacle that I had no power or control over. It was an obstacle that I was at the mercy of, and all of a sudden the Word of God spoke to me. God spoke to me by His Spirit and shared with me a scripture from the Old Testament. Stand still and see the salvation of God. The words that God shared with Moses as the children of Israel were on the banks of the Red Sea. And He spoke to me so clearly, and I said, okay, God, I'm not going to worry about it. I'm just going to put it in Your hands. And within a matter of weeks, that obstacle was removed. And I was able to move forward in what God called me to do. And that's just one of many instances that when I needed encouragement or direction or faith, or correction, or whatever it was in my life, that God spoke to me through the power of His Word. It made alive a scripture once again. And just as recently as this week, God has done this. How often do you speak to your friends? Well, some friends we don't speak to often, but close friends we speak to often. God is a friend who is closer than a brother and wants to speak with you on a regular basis in Jesus' name because He loves you. He wants to see your life blessed. So it's important that we meditate upon the Word of God. It's also important that we listen to the Spirit of God. Now, as far as God communicating, I don't want to negate that God is supernatural and still moves today in a supernatural fashion. That God can speak to you through dreams. He can speak to you through visions. He can speak to you through words of prophecy. Now, all these things we need to be careful of, and they need to line up with the Word of God. And I don't want to get off on this, on manifestations of the supernatural. But one thing Scripture is clear about, as far as supernatural gifts, revelatory gifts, whether dreams or visions or words or prophecies, that they are to be tested, because whenever a human being is involved, there's always occasion for error. So they must be, not in a critical, but in a godly sense, they must be tested. God does speak that way. But God also speaks through the voice of His Spirit. Now, not all the time is God, you know, just relating my own personal experience, has God shared with me a scripture. Sometimes God has spoken plainly with me. I remember once, another time, we were thinking about leaving our place of ministry. We were in Kentucky, and this opportunity came, and I was on the phone, and after I got off and we prayed about it, I felt God strongly say, do not go there. There was no scripture. I couldn't find chapter or verse, but I knew strongly that the Holy Spirit was speaking to my heart not to go to that church, and it turned out to be a good thing, because that would not have been a good situation for anyone. And the Lord was protecting me from that. Now, The question is, when we hear voices, and I'm not talking about, you know, I'm hearing voices, but when we feel that, how do we know it's God when it's not Scripture, or even when it's Scripture? How do we know it's not us? Because the devil has taken Scripture and has twisted and turned that any which way. Did not he do that with Eve at the very beginning? Twist the words of God and bring her to a place of deception and failure. And of course, Adam as well. How do we know the difference? How do we know it is God who is truly speaking? Well, not only do you and I, as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, do we need to be students of the Word and people who meditate upon the Word, so that the Word of God actually becomes part of our life and part of our being, but we need to be people who know the voice of the Spirit. Well, how do you know the voice of the Spirit? What does it sound like? Well, it's not really a sound, but rather it's a presence. Paul puts it this way in Romans chapter 8, verse 16. The Spirit Himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. I think the King James Version translates that, the Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. There is an inward witness when God speaks with our spirit so that we know it's God. Because there are a lot of voices that are out there today, isn't there? There's the voice of God, but then there's the voice of self. I don't know about you, but I've been in situations where I wanted something to happen a certain way, but it wasn't God's way. But boy, did I sure pray and try to find scriptures that made it that way. We need to know when it's God speaking, or when it's us speaking, or when the enemy speaks. Listen, just because you're a believer and you're covered by the blood of Jesus and you are safe does not mean the enemy will not come against you. He can't harm you, he can't possess you, he can't do any of those things. But he can tempt you. And one of the ways that he'll try to trip you up is to deceive you. That's what he did with Eve, and that's what he has done with so many others, and that's what he is trying to do with you. In the book of 2 Corinthians, I believe, chapter 1 or 2, says that Satan appears as an angel of light. So oftentimes, when the enemy comes against a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, you know what he will come armed with? Scripture. Good words. But words that are false because he has twisted it. How do we know? Well, as believers, we need not only to be people who are strong in the Word, we must be strong in the Holy Spirit of God, who is living and powerful, who has been sent to dwell within us in the name of Jesus. I mean, there are things you can tell, whether it's God speaking or whether it's you or some evil spirit speaking, you know, the fear. God has not given us a spirit of fear. And if you're being scared into some activity, rest assured that's not God, because God doesn't work through fear. Romans 8, chapter 1 says, therefore there is no what? Condemnation. If you're guilted into doing something, rest assured that is not God. But those are just signs. And I think God wants us to move beyond, well, what emotion is this? God wants us to be able to say, I hear the voice of the Good Shepherd, the Holy Spirit in my life, and I know it's Him. It is bearing witness with me. There's peace. There's life. It's His Holy Spirit thinking. And though the world says it's wrong, I know it's right in Jesus' name. And that only comes not only as we become students and meditators upon the Word of God, but as we spend time in the presence of the Holy Spirit and get to know the Holy Spirit in an intimate way, realizing that when He speaks, He lets us know in our hearts and our spirits that it is Him who is speaking in Jesus' name. In talking and just summing up this whole message, these series of messages, this is the third one. In order, God, and let me just say this first. God will always be your friend no matter what. Even if you go out and fail Him right after you leave these church doors, Jesus is still your friend. Matthew chapter 11, verse 19, the Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, here is a glutton, a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners. What was Jesus known as when He walked this earth? The friend of the unlovely or the outcast or the sinner, the one who disobeyed God. Jesus will never stop wanting to be your friend no matter what. Don't ever forget that. Friendships today, you know, we've all heard the saying, which goes something like this. You always have your family, but friends you can choose. And, you know, I can be a good friend with someone, but then I could do something horrible to them and they can choose not to be my friend. That's not, and sometimes we have that mindset towards Jesus. If I do something horrible, Jesus is no longer going to want to be my friend. That's a lie from Satan. Don't believe it. He'll always want to be your friend. In fact, He used a word, friend, in describing Judas after Judas betrayed Jesus. When Jesus and Judas came in the Garden of Gethsemane to kiss Jesus, Jesus referred to him as friend. Greetings, Rabbi, and kissed him. Jesus replied, friend. Not the same friend that He used for the disciples, more of a comrade, but still a term of endearment, companionship. Friend, do what you came for. Even at that hour of betrayal, Jesus never disowned Judas. Judas made a choice to walk away from God. But that does not absolve us of being a good friend. Because I don't know about you, I want to be on good terms with Jesus so that I can hear from Him. And all the other things that we talked about, you know, a friend who's closer than a brother, and how Jesus will always be there for us and never let us down. I want that as a reality in my life, and I don't want anything to jeopardize it, in that I'm not in the place that I need to be. You know, there is, in the Bible, we've looked in these series of messages at some good friends, but there's some examples of bad friends too. And three of the worst friends that we have in the Bible are friends of a man named Job. Who was Job? Job was a man who just suffered immensely. Time of his life, he was under the assault of the enemy, and he lost his family, he lost his possessions, and he lost his health. And his health, it wasn't just, you know, he couldn't get up out of bed. He had painful boils all over his body, which caused immense pain, disfigurement. I imagine the odor must have been terrible. And in the process of the book of Job, three friends come to, quote-unquote, comfort him. But instead of comforting him, they make him feel worse. In fact, Job mentioned that Job was a very rich and influential man. Only three friends came. Many of his friends didn't even bother with him. He writes in Job 19:14, my kinsmen have gone away. My friends have forgotten me. One of the easiest things, easiest traps or failings that we can have as God's friend is that of neglect. Last week I had a friend of mine fill in for me. He was a man I met at Bible school, Mike Davis, and we were friends there. And later on he went to my home church, and when my father passed away, he sang at my father's funeral. And him and his wife, just wonderful people. But my father died in the year 2000, and the next time I spoke to him was about 3 weeks ago when I asked him to come and speak for me. I wasn't a very good friend. We had a great conversation. We spoke for an hour. He was a good friend. When he heard I was sick, he sent a message right away, said he'd be willing to come anytime to help fill in and do whatever. But it's easy as far as friendship, because they're not family, to neglect our friends and not call, especially when times are tough. In our last church, there was a man who suffered a debilitating stroke to the point where he could barely speak. He was a man who had tons of friends. He was a farmer. He always had people coming in and out of his barn. He was always cooking and having things. And then when he had that stroke and he couldn't speak anymore, he had very few. You could count the number of friends that came to visit him on one hand. In fact, I only know of one, really, who who is faithful in coming and see him. Friends have difficulty in handling hard times. How are we towards Jesus? Actually, in hard times, we're pretty close to God. We want to be his friend. But in good times, it's easy for us to forget about God because things are going good and we really, at least we think, we don't need him. But neglect puts strain on a friendship. Of course, the strain is not that God loves us any less, but we don't discern the voice of God maybe as clearly as we should. And is that God really speaking to me, or is it not, or am I even hearing? Then, of course, there are fair weather friends. We all know those. All my intimate friends, Job writes in Job 19:19. All my intimate friends attest to me. Those I love have turned against me. We face loss of money, status. People can't handle it. Sickness a lot of times drives friends away. And so it is with the road of the cross. If you choose to serve Jesus, you chose the road of suffering. I'm not saying God is going to punish you with the things that he punished Job is, but you're no longer of this world. And the things that you need to give up in this world, because you belong to a new kingdom, the kingdom of God. It's not pleasant to share the burden of Christ and suffer the shame of standing up for Jesus and letting people know that they need God. It's difficult. It's a difficult road. And for many people, it brings them to a place where they neglect their relationship with God. What is a good friend? Very quickly. A good friend is one who obeys. John 13:14, you are my friends if you do what I command. You want to be a friend of Jesus? You want to hear his voice clearly in your life? Know his word and do his word. Both righteousness and obedience, you know, acts of service and love to other people. Not just right and wrong, that's very important. But also acts of love and service. John 13:15, Jesus said regarding being a good friend, I no longer call you servants because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I have learned from my Father, I have made known to you. Exactly what we've been talking about, communicating. You need to talk with God every day. And you need to understand that God is a person, that he loves you. He's not just a being that is way out in the cosmos somewhere who is unapproachable. He is close. He is near. To the power of his Holy Spirit, he dwells in our hearts if you've received him as your Savior. Thirdly, sacrifice. John 15:15, greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. You want to be a true friend. A friend loves more than a brother and is willing to lay down their life for their friend. I shared with you the example, the first message of a man named Jeff Simpson, who was in the last town that we pastored. And his friend Rick Finkbone was a severe diabetic, and his kidneys failed. And Jeff and his wife Robin were very loving people. They adopted many children. When he heard that his friend was dying, he immediately went and had himself tested and found that he was a match, and freely donated his kidney for him. He could have said, you know, I need my kid. What if I get, he's just a couple years older than I am. What if I get sick when I'm older? I need both my kidneys. Or maybe my wife will need one. Or maybe my brother. Or maybe someone else. But no, when his good friend Rick was diagnosed with kidney disease and was preparing to go on dialysis, he freely gave his kidney, sacrificing at least part of his life so that his friend could live. Jesus did so much more for us. In the road of salvation, Jesus asked us to do the same, to give our lives for him. Which means we lay down whatever it is we have, our plans, our ambitions, in order to fulfill the will of God. Now, I'm not saying that God will not bless you and you'll not be happy in what you do. Delight yourself in the Lord and God will grant you the desires of your heart. But if you want to be a friend of God, you need to be a person of sacrifice. In Jesus' name. Now, when we talk about those things, obedience, communion, sacrifice, you might be saying, well, Brother Rand, that does not sound very joyful at all. That sounds like a lot of hard work. A few weeks ago, we married Carrie. I married Kara and Reuben. And in their vows was the words obey and sacrifice and cherish and love and honor. And you know, They didn't view it. In fact, I have to confess, I've never laughed during a wedding ceremony. But that wedding ceremony, I came close to laughing because at the end, when I was ready to pronounce them man and wife, Reuben kept saying, yes, yes, yes. And it just threw me for a loop. He made all those vows to lay down his life for his wife. Why? Did he view it as a labor, a chore? Some people view marriage that way. I remember when I was about 19, 20 years old, my friend Lenny got married, and I said, man, I just see a ball and chain going around that guy's foot. Last thing I want to do is get married. And I looked at it as a chore, but to him it wasn't a chore. And when I got married, it wasn't a chore. I willingly did that. Profess my love and my devotion to my... Why? Because of love. It's a labor of love. And so it is with our friend Jesus. You can look, if you look at obedience and sacrifice as a chore and communion as a chore, you'll be miserable in your walk of Jesus. But if it's an outcropping of your love for God because He first loved you and gave His life for you, it'll be a joy in Jesus' name. I'd like to ask Jeremiah and Bill if you'd come once again.